Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Alan from the West Midlands, and you're listening to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is, what album, book, or film do you love now that you originally didn't like? Okay, here comes the show. And remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor, Dame Baptiste, my producer friend, Howard Cohen, a.k.a. The Hizzer,
hello,
and a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked, and we are talking everything from...
We are talking everything from Alan from the West Midlands question, what album, book or film do you like now that you originally didn't like? And it's very easy for me to tell you this, Dane. It's the film Alien. When I was a kid, I thought it was shit. And I thought that was a crap Alien. But then I realised that it's an amazing film.
It's an amazing film. Do you not see the part where... Well, when I watched Alien as a kid, my dad was like, Dane, come in and watch this. And he showed me a chest burst for the first time. I didn't like Alien either, because I was like, well, let's sleep. I thought the xenomorphs were very, very scary. I was like, Dad, there is a enormous toothed penis poking out of that man's chest. So that's going to stay with me for a while.
Yeah, toothed penises is not a nice phrase, by the way, just so you know.
I don't know any album, but I'd say maybe the work of Future, a rapper called Future.
Okay, yeah.
At first I was like, what is this? And now I'm like, it's all right. No, I get it. So it was maybe a point at which, you know, I had to come to terms with the fact that as I'm getting older, there's a lot more of music, which I won't get because it's not for me. And I'm comfortable with that now. So, but Future is around about my age. But I think he kind of changed the sound and it was more of that Atlanta-based auto-tune sound. And I was like, this is not real rap and blah, 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 blah. And then I realized what I sounded like and I was like, oh, relax, buddy. It's fine.
Well, it's a good question. And listeners, we want to hear your answers. And as always on this show, we ask and answer all the questions, don't we, Dane?
Absolutely. I mean, more than ever, you must be questioning your reality, guys. So no question is too stupid. No question is too big or too small. And if you do like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify and you'll never miss an episode. Or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's largest podcast network. With that being said, on today's show is a Bristol-born comedian, actor, TV presenter, and all-round polymath. Her debut show, 31, was nominated for the Best Newcomer Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. This was followed up by her critically acclaimed five-star live show, The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face, or alternatively known as Serious Black Jumper, which is available to watch on Amazon Prime UK right now. She is also one of the hosts of Netflix's Crazy Delicious and the BAFTA-nominated Snackmasters, as well as amazing TV shows like Good Omens. Please welcome to the show, the jaw-dropping Jade Adams.
Woo! What an introduction. Thank you so much.
What a performer.
Oh, well, you're very kind. And I say this is the best way to start a podcast off with me.
Yeah, well, say nice things about you.
Just compliments. It always just really makes you feel better, doesn't it?
It'd be amazing one day to think that we didn't have anything to say about anyone, right, Dane? Welcome to the show. They haven't really done much, but, you know, they're here.
Well, yeah, but even then, the idea would be kind of that we want to make sure that those people felt welcome as well. So, yeah, everyone gets their flowers, Jade. If there's one podcast where one day people are like, well, what was Jade before she ruled her own country? Who was she before she was in charge of this nation? And they can come back to this podcast and hear all of your achievements that qualified you for that role as Prime Minister of New England. So, yeah, we want to elevate people. This is a pedestal based podcast. Our guests are very much esteemed, and so, you know.
And well, welcome to 2021, everyone. This is 2021, apparently.
Actually, if we're learning anything in 2021, it is that entertainers do not make great politicians.
I mean, I would say entertainer is generous. Although when you look back on America's history, I can't really think of most other countries that would elect entertainers, but America has done it twice with Ronald Reagan and with the former president, Donald Trump. That's right. Yeah. I said former. Don't like it. I got a dick for you to suck.
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton maybe is an entertainer. I mean, he had a very good saxophone playing skills, didn't he?
You say it like that, it sounds like a euphemism. Well, you could play a saxophone if you.
Well, I knew that there was no way to skirt around. That was his theme song.
I feel it's almost worrying that like we do elevate these representatives based on them having this additional skill, like maybe being musicians. In fact, do you know that Louis Farrakhan was a trumpet player before he became the leader of the Nation of Islam?
Nice, good fact.
Yeah. However, I'm just saying, then when we're as entertainers, they would say to us, stay out of politics. Why don't politicians stay out of entertainment? Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the thing is, I mean, yes, I think the term politician is generous as well, yeah. Because I think truly what he is, it all happened yesterday, which is he's a psychopath, and as soon as someone shows that level of like, you know, being detached from like how you
apathy,
like,
yeah, he doesn't. But the thing is, his own family said it, his own niece said it, his own mother said it, like. In a completely objective interview, they were asked, his own family were asked, is he good enough for this job? And they were all like, no.
No.
And then people were like, his family don't know what he's talking about. The people who raised him. Mm. I'm sure they do.
Have you guys listened to or read the Fire and Fury book by Michael Wolff?
Yes.
No.
I would say that listening to the audio version is sensational because it feels like, Dane, you said you read it. You know. It feels a little bit like fiction, right? But then you realise it's based on reality.
So Jay, in the book, right, the book is basically about like the first 100 days in the White House of Donald Trump. And the guy who wrote it was like, yeah, this was like the first 100 days of Donald Trump. Donald Trump was like, he's lying. I never met this guy. There was a picture with Donald Trump with the guy.
Well, nobody knew he was there. Nobody asked him to leave. He just sat there and just watched for about 100 days, which was, it's an amazing listen, but it does seem like, yeah.
I mean, I personally feel like it doesn't seem amazing. If you've paid attention to who Donald Trump is as a person, none of this should surprise you. Jade, just to give you an overview of this book here, this guy said, they were like, what's he like? Listen to this, Jade. I want you to understand, yeah? And people need to understand this. He laughs at nothing. He has no joy. No, Jade, I'm not finished yet. You know what he said? The only time Donald Trump laughs is if he is laughing at the expense of another human being or someone else is being ridiculed.
So here's my issue, Dane, and both of you, actually. Here's my issue. The thing is with Donald Trump is that everyone talks about these personality traits that he has and they talk about them and they're so surprised by them. But when you are someone who has met this person before, it's just like, of course, yeah, that person should never have like, never. I find it really hard to be shocked by his behavior because I've met someone, we've all, like, I don't know if you have, but I've specifically met someone who doesn't only laughs at their own, only laughs at the misfortune of other people, has megalomaniacal fantasies, who constantly lies and believes their own lies as well. It's not just the lying, it's the belief in his own bollocks. And that's the most astonishing thing of all, and why he's fascinating, because he just utterly believes all of the shit that comes out of his gob. But that these people exist. He's like, you know, he's the amalgamation of all those traits that we all blame our ex-boyfriends or girlfriends having, you know, they were a narcissist. He is the embodiment of all of those traits that you have called people in your past. I don't find anything he does surprising. I know exactly who he is.
His own mother. This is the story as well. His own mother. So, first of all, Donald Trump was never supposed to be in charge of the Trump fortune. He had an older brother.
The older brother was an alcoholic, and that's why Donald Trump
But he became an alcoholic because he was disowned by his father, because his father lambasted him for making affordable housing for blacks and Latinos in New York and said, you are scum. How can you be a member of this family? So saddened by his father's malevolence, he drank himself to death. Now, before this, when they were kids, the story is they both had their separate Lego blocks and they were both building Lego. And Donald Trump did not have enough Lego. So he went to his brother and used to spot, and in a very brattishly way, threw a tantrum demanding that his brother, older brother, would give him some of his bricks to make his own toy. His brother, being his older brother and having a soul, gave him these said pieces of Lego. Donald Trump, you know what he did? Stuck them together so no one could use them.
Glued them together,
so no one could use them. That's a story from his own mother. His own mother said this.
It's when
even
crazy,
after
right?
even after his own niece was like, "This man is a monster."
It's going to be a remarkable era we're going to live through, eh? But,
I like optimism, Howard. Howard, you see the dude?
Well, I've got to be. I've got a child now, Dane. I've got a child. I've got to try and hope for the
this
world.
Is true.
But
this
but it's probably time for a question, hey, Dane, as the format of this podcast dictates.
Absolutely. So, new year, new guest, old Dane. So. The format remains the same in that Jade is our very esteemed and welcome guest. We invite you to ask the first question, which we will all discuss for like 15 minutes and some change. Then Howard will ask a question and we will do the same. And then lather, rinse, repeat. I will ask you a question, which we'll all discuss. And then as well as the amazing plaudits you've already accumulated, you can tell our audience where we can find your stuff next. And we can all continue to love and achieve until the end of the world. Sound like a plan?
Plan.
Cool, my dear. Please, let us know your first question.
So basically it's any question.
Anything you like.
I've been asking this question my whole life, and I ask all sorts of people this question. How big does a crumb have to be in order to be classified as a biscuit again?
Oh, now that is very, very complicated. What has inspired you to ask this question throughout your life, Jade?
Just because I came up with it myself and I didn't regurgitate it from a meme somewhere. And it also makes people, I mean, the conversation always veers off into lots of other things because obviously the crumb and biscuit can be a metaphor. So I just find it an interesting question to ask someone. And I thought it'd be perfect for the podcast.
Thank you. It's a great
one. Thank you
very
much.
It does allow for tangents, like the whole when does a soup become a stew? Is a similar.
How
thing.
Many lumps does it take to make a stew from a soup? Like,
yeah.
What?
When does it
change?
Yeah. The crumb thing's a tricky one, though, isn't it? Because I'm just thinking about kind of like, you know, those shortbread things that you get in like. You know, the little Marks and Spencer's boxes.
Yeah, and they're like on a first-class train and they go, snack! They give those two, like, shortbreads. I feel like this is, like, to work this out is, like, there's a certain level of mathematics to it. Do you know, like, sometimes in tabloid newspapers, when they could be reporting on, like, geopolitical events and they go, here's a formula for making a perfect slice of toast. And then they show you this formula of, like, the elevation of the butter and how I think there's the crumb, I guess, is... I guess it pertains to the original size of the biscuit it came from. Now, and are we just talking about biscuit, or is bread included in this?
Well, I mean, I can open the question up to be a bit more general. We could turn this into a sort of whole just crumb.
The definition of crumb, because sometimes breadcrumbs are used as coating for various types of poultry, and I'm like, that's all very small types of crumb. But then, like I said, you've got, but then. How do we distinguish a crumb from a crouton? Is it because a crouton is cuboid? Are croutons cuboids as well?
I've had some disappointing croutons in my life as well, it's worth pointing out.
Oh, like, soggy crouton. They're awful.
You know, when you get and you're just like, that's just mush in my soup now, mate. You've just ruined this for everyone, actually. But do you like a crouton, Dane?
I'm not that opposed to them, but I find that normally the type of... places that croutons occur in just not really doesn't really work for me. Like I normally see croutons in like a Caesar salad, and I'm lactose intolerant, not too big on the cheese in a Caesar salad. And I don't really normally tend to do soup when I'm dining. If it's normally an a la carte course meal and they're like, you will start with a soup, I'll go for that. But normally I won't leave my house to enjoy a soup.
Although a very nice thing to do, you know, when, like you always buy a packet of tomatoes that you never use. I've always got tomatoes rotting. If you chuck a load of olive oil, salt and pepper and some garlic and roast that and then just whiz it up, you've got tomato soup and you've made it at home and it costs nothing.
Not only that, Jade, if you don't even roast it up, you can save that. Got a bit of bruschetta as well for when the kids get home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
There you go.
Yeah.
And not only that, if you add a bit of garlic to that or maybe chop some spring onion with that, bit of... cilantro for our international listeners, or coriander. Ooh. Now you've got some pico de gallo for your tacos.
I absolutely love that combination. Nothing better
than... Can't beat it, Jade.
Just to throw another one into the mix on the whole food boundaries, I think is what we're talking about here. And it's when a crisp becomes a chip, is a very, very fine line in potato ethics, no? Yeah. Because it's, you know, you can get a nice, thick, crunchy chip. You know the ones I mean in your bag of chips where you get the really good... Is that a crisp?
Oh, that's a good point. I just want to say as well, a black man invented crisps.
Really?
Yes, and guess how it came about? Basically, he was serving potatoes to this guy as a white guy, and he was like, I don't like what this boy is making. Things ain't thin enough. And he was like, but that's as thin as a potato can go. I don't like it, boy. You're going to have to make it thinner. Maybe you got to cook it to a crisp. And the black man said, maybe I will. Now, Nee, if it was me, we wouldn't have crisps today because I'd have been spunking up all up in that food. But this man was a better man than me and decided to use his culinary skills. And that's how crisps, and they were sliced so thinly, he was like, here you go, Mr. White Man. Thin enough for you? And the white guy was like, yes, they are, boy. What you call these? And he went, crisps. And he went, cool, I'm going to steal the patent, boy, because it's America. And that's the story of crisps. But the crumb thing is, it's a good point, Jane. I think it should be, I guess it's a function of the food article from which it's come from. Because I remember saying before, like, with chocolate chips and stuff and, like, biscuits, I'd be like, how many things do you put into a biscuit before it becomes a cake?
It all came from a time where I remember when I was younger, I was on a coach going to a disco dancing competition. Long story. There's other podcasts where you can listen to that stuff. I was on the coach and I was eating a biscuit and I had it on me and someone said, oh, you got crumbs on you. And then someone said, no, she's got a biscuit on her.
I don't like that person. They're mean, Jade. I don't like that person. That sounds like a malcontent that's jealous of your bosom.
Would you give it to another person? That's probably one of my dividing lines between crumb and biscuit is, would you go, oh, do you want this biscuit? It's small, but I mean, it's a biscuit. Or would you consider it a crumb? Because you're never going to go, would you like this crumb, mate?
I'd probably open a packet and just give them a fresh one.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. And that's why you can't be a politician, Jade, because rather than just throwing people your crumbs and morsels, you're like, I'm going to open a fresh packet. You sound like a socialist when it comes to biscuits.
I've got lots of capitalist traits, but yeah, I think
when it comes to biscuits, you've got to share the love.
Yeah.
I often find the most satisfying bit in a biscuit scenario or a crisp scenario is those crumbs at the bottom of the, you know, when you get to the bottom of the thing and it's just that little lingering bit of dust and you can, I'd buy a bag of that dust actually if they started selling
that. That's almost the confectionery equivalent of being like a crackhead, all right? That's like you're looking in ashtrays in a pub for like, yeah, you're looking in ashtrays for a pub for being like, that's not been smoked the whole way. Oh, I like that.
Licking the foil.
Yeah. Which, you know, I want to say, we are not judging on this podcast. These are observations, not condemnations. But yeah, some people like that. It's, you know, licking the foil, you know.
People love a little bit of heroin. I hear it's very Moorish.
It is very popular.
Absolutely is. It absolutely is. I don't know. I feel as well. But then what about breadcrumbs? Because breadcrumbs, like, you know, like panko breadcrumbs, they're really small, right?
I've got them.
And those go all over, like, you know, your prawns or you know.
Or your chicken.
Your chicken, your carrot aggie and stuff, or your tempuras. And I'm just like, are those breadcrumbs? I think breadcrumbs.
I would never call that a biscuit. I would never go to someone, fancy some panko breadcrumbs. Like, you know, I'm never giving them as a snack with a piece of tea, you know, or whatever, you know, kind of thing.
A cookie crumb. I mean, I think those are quite clear, but then if you have a chocolate chip cookie and a chip falls from the collective consciousness of said cookie or the collective cookiness, is that a crumb?
Yes. Great question.
This is what I mean. I think
it probably is a crumb because it belongs to a cookie. So maybe it's about who it used to belong to. And obviously there's a lot of metaphors in that as well.
Exactly. I think crumbs have, like, there's a lot of scope for crumbs to become, again, return to become part of a greater, because isn't cheesecake, like the base of cheesecake, like almost like crushed up crumbs?
Biscuits, yeah.
Biscuit, yeah, that's what that is, right? So I don't know. The real question is, Jade, is can anything be a crumb? Because if you look at a crumb microscopically, that will have smaller particles of said crumb, and aren't those crumbs pertaining to that particular crumb? So what is the quantum of crumb, I guess, is what we're trying to work out here.
I think the best crumb is cake crumb, potentially, because I think even if you've had some of the cake, you can still have some cake crumb. And anyone could just pick up a bit of cake crumb. Whereas if I was eating a biscuit right now and you came and just ate a bit of the crumb of the biscuit, I'd be like, mate, just have a biscuit. Whereas if you had some cake crumb, I'd be like, fine.
Oh, I only want a little bit of that, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just have a bit.
Ooh, all right. Just a little bit.
Howard, that's a sound theory. But let me ask you a question, brother. What if it's a crumb, what if it's a crumb cake, Coward? Then what do you do, Howard? If it's a crumb cake, curveball.
It's too meta now. It's too meta for me. It's too meta for me to be able to understand. It's interesting, and I think ultimately this question makes me think that people should respect the crumb. Basically,
people should stop being mean to Jade about is there a crumb. Just because that's how you don't get a biscuit, you mean piece of shit, whoever you were. Fuck you. Yeah. None for you. Don't share no biscuits with that person, Jade.
I didn't.
Good. And that's why they were angry.
I picked it up off my top and I went...
Mm-mm. And then they went, I've got an eating disorder, but I have to project onto Jade because I can't rationalise it in my own head.
It's my entire childhood.
Of course.
Making me want to go and buy a bag of... Go and buy a bag of Space Invaders and lick the foil. Whoa, that would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Do you know what? Guys, don't tempt them, because if you think they won't take the flavourings you get on Space Raiders and make them into, like, acid star tabs for kids... They will.
I've had the pure powder of Quavers in the Quaver factory. So I've had
really.
Jade got all the snacks plugs.
How did you take it, Jade?
I've done the beef Monster Munch flavouring as well.
Oh my goodness! Is this from the dark internet?
Oh, and pickle. I've done pickled onion as well. No, from Snapmasters.
This is on Snapmasters.
All right.
Was it amazing, Jade? Was it like a life changing experience?
Do you know what? I didn't think it was going to be, but it has been actually. It's also because it's totally not my life either. Like I go up to the north and I'm hanging out with loads of people in factories that do this job that we all benefit greatly from. Well, I definitely have. Mm. And I was watching it and I was also seeing like the sort of, I was just seeing a lot, you know, it's not my life at all. And it could have been, if I was born up north, I probably worked in a factory, you know, there wasn't that many factories in Bristol for me to work in. If I'd been up north, I probably would have worked in a factory. And what I really loved is that the people that work there, there's this guy, he worked at Snickers. And I said, oh, how did you end up working at Snickers? And he said, well, I went to university when I was younger. He was in his like, say late 40s, maybe early 50s. He said, I went to university when I was younger. I was one of the first people in my family to. And I went off and he did like biochemistry or something like that. And he said, I got this little job just before I went, which was at the local Mars factory for Snickers. And then afterwards, he said, I came back from university and I needed a job. So I worked at the factory again because I enjoyed it so much. He said, and that's where I've stayed. I haven't done anything with my degree. I love my job and I've been able to achieve from it everything that I've always wanted to achieve. My wife's got this and my children have got that. And it was great. Hmm. And it was just, I'm sure there's lots of people that work in the factories that don't feel like that as well. But the other thing that was this is quite depressing what I'm about to say. But,
it's okay, we go up and down on this podcast.
We want to change the sort of plastic thing. And I know lots of big businesses are trying to make their products sustainable, especially because everyone's made sustainability so trendy. Obviously, the big companies know that their products will sell more if they are sustainable and help and, you know, eco-friendly and all that. But I was in the factories and I was watching all the plastic go down because that's what I'm watching. And I was just thinking, like, if this plastic didn't go down this factory in this way, where are all these people going to work? Where are they going? And then I was like, okay. That's what I thought when I was there. And I was like, you know, everything's much more complicated a conversation than we give it credit for, I think, sometimes. I think people oversimplify things to...
Why did you think that'd be controversial to say?
I think it was
controversial, Jade. You don't come on Dave's podcast knowing I don't like nuts talking about Snickers men. I'm not here for that, Jade. Now, that was controversial. We're a Mars-based podcast, Jade. A Mars-based podcast for Mars Bars. They help you work, rest and play, not to have your breath smell like freaking peanuts.
What?
That's got to be said. Please continue.
I will say that the reason I probably thought it was controversial is because I have in the past spoken up about working class people in you know, I've said stuff about it. And because the side of the working class is not often the side that is the people that I, you know, like.
The politically astute or the politically vocal. Yeah. But I mean, but even political awareness is a middle class privilege that few can afford. It's very easy to talk about sustainability and ethical corporate practices when you are able to have this discussion. But if your life depends on you being able to bring home money for your children, then it's very hard for you to sit down and muse about the ethical aspect of your jobs. So yeah, there's nothing controversial about it. It's just, you know, it really, it's a part of, you know, the whole larger question for 2021, which I'm sure we will address in this podcast later on this year, listeners, which is about the fact that we are very inextricably tied to capitalism. And, you know, our labor has been exploited, maybe to the point whereby we are now dependent on it in many ways. So really the question is not so much about the use of plastic and these people finding a job, is how much is a job going to mean when, you know, the person who is one of the most outspoken about artificial intelligence is now one of the richest men in the world. A few crumbs from a brain, do you know what I mean? A few crumbs.
Exactly. Bring it back to crumbs. my question, I like your question, Jade. I'm gonna segue into my question because it's linked actually to the world of crumbs and kind of sugary snacks, because as our listeners would know from the intro and hopefully from watching the shows, you know, you have worked on some lovely culinary shows in the past couple of years. And my question is very important. I think this is a very important question. It teaches us a lot about each other. Okay, so I'm going to make it really simple.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Biscuit, chocolate, or sweets? If you had to pick one of the three, I'd say, main commodities of sugary treat, which one are you going with? Jade, your face, just listeners, Jade's, I don't know if I've ever seen Jade look a bit serious.
The reason why, Howard, is because I feel like Jade feels like you are reducing the breadth. Confectionery is a spectrum, Howard. I'm being aware. In a way. Confectionery is a spectrum.
I'm aware. I would say that you end up with people in these three camps a lot of the time. I'm going to leave cake out of it because cake's a bigger question for another time. But
fuck
to
cake.
Me, if,
I'm so not into cake.
But also, it's not something you get. But cake's not something you get. Cake's not something you get out of the cupboard as easily as a biscuit, a bit of chocolate, or a sweet. You see what I mean? You've got those in your cupboard. If you're only having one for the rest of your days, Dane, Jade, which one are you going for?
Jade, you first, of course.
It's tough.
Chocolate.
I don't know, Jade. It's like telling me to pick between my kids, which one of my kids are going to kill first.
This is Sophie's choice for me, man. Too much. They've all contributed to this wonderful woman that has sat in front of you. And so it's important to choose wisely. Now, I think, first of all, if it was between chocolate and biscuit, biscuit's off. Like, chocolate for me is the one. But then I've got an issue between sweets and sweets and chocolate.
And if I said to you now, hey Jade, we're going to go for a little walk down to my local corner shop, and you got a couple of pounds to spend.
Kit Kat.
What? Kit Kat. Instantly going Kit Kat.
Well, Kit Kat's my favourite confectionery to get from a shop. So, but then you know, there's a question between whether that's a biscuit or it's a chocolate. But to me, it's
a perfect mix. It's a perfect word, if you ask me.
It's a wafer. I even know how they're made. Do you know what they put inside of a Kit Kat?
Kit Kats. Circle of life.
Wow, that's hardcore.
Or chocolate. all chocolate reincorporates its cut-offs back into its products. So that's sustainable, actually.
So it means they're not wasting it. So they've been doing that years. That's a saving grace, though.
But we've gone to the shop, Jade. You've got a Kit Kat in one hand. In the other hand, you've got a sweet. What are you picking up in the sweet section?
Sweets, rhubarb and custard boiled sweets.
Whoa, I remember those. Yeah, all right, all right. Old school.
Hang on, wait there. And then there's this.
Listeners, Jade is dramatically leaving the scene. This might be the end of the show. She actually can't take the question, I guess.
Listeners, currently both Howard and I are dripping with sweat in anticipation of what Jade's going to return to this podcast with.
It could be anything. Imagine if it was a gun and she just furious at me asking this question.
Chocolate gun. I've heard the clinking of glass.
Hello. Jade's back. And this very nice, is very ominous exciting. Jar. The jar looks spectacular.
This is my sweets, biscuits, and chocolate jar. That's the problem I've got.
Those are little crickety crack rocks right there. That's like, you know, in the old days, like when River Phoenix died from ecstasy ball, where it was like speed, coke, and heroin. That's what you just had right there. Listeners, if you can't see this, Jade has just consumed a lint ball. Need I say more? It's as if satin was made love to with a chocolate penis, and that's what a lint ball is.
Okay, I would choose that over all of those things.
That's chocolate. You're choosing chocolate, basically.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I do love Kit Kat.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Kit Kat to me, that's wafer. So for me, that's like a salad, really.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite.
Like when I have a meal deal, that's like my palate cleanser is the Kit Kat. If I'm feeling naughty, maybe then I'll have a Twix because you're like caramel.
I like to eat a four finger like an absolute punk.
Nice.
Really? Like you go four fingers in one? Wow, that's crazy talk.
How do you, Jade, on a quick aside, when you do bite into those four fingers immediately, how do you resolve that so that the bits outside of your bite don't fall off and you don't end up losing crumbs?
That's a bit messy.
And then you get your chocolatey crumbs, which can stain.
I'm always let down when I'm eating anyway. So, I'm always lying down when I'm eating anyway. So
that's right. Safe, responsible positions for enjoying confectionery.
Well, I'm immediately a plate for myself, so I can just. I mean, I haven't sat up to eat in a long time. We've sat on the sofa for what is it now? 11 months? 10 months?
I like that though. You are the plate. I like that. You are the plate. That's a real existential kind of maxim there. You are, when it comes to eating food, you are the plate.
You are the plate.
I like that. Yeah. But not like in a way like, you know, when they used to make women put sushi over their genitals in like the 80s. Not like that.
No. Or Kim Cattrall in Sex and the City 2 movie.
Yeah, exactly. And who wants fish by their vagina is a question for another episode, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't think we've had that question yet, Dane, but you can save that for...
Oh, we'll get there. Don't you worry. We're going to get there.
We'll get there. Dane, where do you stand on this sweet biscuit chocolate universe where you're only allowed one? Where are you going to stand?
It's a tough one. It is a really tough one because, like you said, I mean, these are different confectionaries for different social events, different situations. I would say probably sweets would be my thing. I am a chocolate fan.
But really?
Howard, I'm lactose intolerant, first of all.
Of course. I forgot about your disease. Yeah.
There's a limit to which I can indulge enjoying, you know, only so many truffles I can have before the bum trumpets. Do you know what I mean? Then, there's also an issue that in the terms of my chocolate selections is that I also have to consider the fair trade aspect of the chocolate trade. I'm aware that Swiss chocolates are considered the creme de la creme a lot of the time. But note, but chocolate is from the Ivory Coast and from Ghana, some of the world's largest cocoa producers. Right, Jade? Jade, you think I don't want to have a woke wallet? I don't want to have it, Jade. But unfortunately, I have to consider these things, okay?
Dane!
I know. But how could I live with myself? How could I? You can get fair trade chocolate. That's good. Tony's is good. You know Tony's.
No, Tony's can suck my ass, suck my dick.
And what's wrong with Tony's?
Tony's can suck my dick, man. Fuck Tony's.
You know, Jade, you told me you wouldn't be this controversial in this show.
What are you going against Big T?
How can you compare Lindor chocolate to Tony's?
They've been putting pretzels in it sometimes, Jade. There's pretzels in it sometimes. That's cool.
I hate pretzels. Tony's. Tony's. Oh, God. Everyone keeps taking away all my favourite things. Like,
Jane, after all that talk about supporting the working class, you've got mint, leather rug, and then you've got like dairy milk. And oh, everyone, this is Tony's. You're like, boo.
Yeah, big Tony. Yeah,
big Tony's chocolate. But you're like, boo. But Bjorgen chocolates are fine. For shame, Jade. For shame. Godiva's fine, but
that's what success does to you.
Everyone's going to Godiva. Everyone's going to Lint, but there's something wrong with Tony. The thing is, however you feel about Tony, one of its attributes is it is a fair trade confectioner. But I avoid all this stuff by saying this is why I'm into the sweet game, because then I get to avoid all this stuff. Because I used to be a chocolate fan, but lactose intolerance very much inhibits my ability to enjoy the full plethora of chocolate selections available to your human being.
So if we're in the sweet shop, Dane, and Jade's got a Kit Kat and a little Lint ball, because I'm giving her both, and what are you buying, Dane? What am I treating you to?
Depending on the sweet shop. Now, if we're dealing with like a Bishopsgate, like bank-based sweet shop, I might go for like a quarter of Midget Gems or rhubarb and custard or American Hard Gums. That's my pick tonight.
So hang on, Midget Gems, what was the other?
I also love rhubarb and custard too. And then, you know, if I'm fit, since Howard's paying, maybe I'll get some pear drops, because fuck it, ain't my money.
Do you know what pear drops give me asthma?
How? That's really mental.
Something in the flavouring gives me asthma. Like, it's always been the same. I really love the taste of them, but yeah, I get wheezy on them.
I could definitely see that. But I'd go for the Hard Drums. But my favourite sweet is gelatin sweets. Now, I've been able to find a vegan-based alternative. I like gelatin sweets. So I like all, like, basically most Haribo stuff.
Straws are vegan.
Straws are amazing. So things like straws, vampire fangs, Tangfastics, Star Mix. I love it. Apart from, I don't like foam gelatin sweets, like the hearts and like the fried eggs. Get the fuck out of here with those.
Prawns.
Yeah, prawns, get out of it.
Right, who wants a fish-based sweet? You know what I mean?
Oh, Swedish fish. Swedish fish are very good. I tell you what, shit. Parma violets. I said it.
I hate Parma violets.
I fucking hate Parma violets.
I hate Parma violets.
Might as well lick a blackboard in 1944 if you're going to eat Parma violets. Listen, these war sweets, Army and Navy, Parma violets. I'm not having this shit no more. We're not at war anymore. Well, yeah, not in a war that we can see in the developed world. But I don't want any more of these ration sweets. They've got to go. Humbugs. Yeah. Get them out of here. Campellas. Get them out of here. You know Campellas? You know they serve Campellas? Doctor surgeries and gyms.
I mean, I have to tell you both that obviously in a dream world, when we, you know, are out of lockdown, I'd love to take you both to a sweet shop and make this happen for real.
If we go to a sweet shop, Howard, and they try to pass off like sweets, like packaged sweets, like, you know, your Fruitellas, your wine gums, your Starburst, and they try to pass them off as pick and mixes and charge you 3p, I'm burning it down, Howard. Never the twain shall meet. Those sweets are supposed to be in a packet. There's no fucking way you're charging me 3p for a Starburst.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping it just being a nice little kind of event for the three of us just to share a little nice bit of time, Dane. But if you have to burn it down, then I understand.
Howard, I wish it was as simple as that, Howard. I wish it was. But what you tend to find is that you've got people out here that are taking sweets out of their original packaging to put them into pick and mix boxes, pass them off to the youth as individual pick and mix. When the truth is, if you bought 6 Starbursts, that would be 18p. So for one more, you could probably afford to buy your own packet of fucking Starburst in my day. Yeah. And I don't want to see my Starburst there. I made a choice. A Starburst, that's someone else's idea how that should be assembled. Or a machine has told me what should be in that packet. Pick and mix is my time, my choice. It's one of the only choices you even get as a child that you can make yourself, that people trust you to make. You know?
So passionate. So
you'll be
passionate.
14 to pick your subjects at school, but when you're a child, you get to pick your mix. And I don't want that being taken away from the youth of today. That's all I'm saying, Howard. Confectionery-based multiculturalism, Howard. That's a problem with Haribo. They emphasize confectionery-based purity. I like straws, but maybe I want to mix those straws with a few gummy bears, with a few vampire teeth, with a few wedding rings. It's my fucking choice. Yeah. I don't want any eggs, Haribo. Those are for fucking breakfast. I didn't come here for breakfast. If you have sweets for breakfast, your parents are negligent. I don't want it. Things have got to change, Jay.
You're so reasonable, Dane. I can see how politics is really the future future path for you.
These ration sweets have to stop, Howard. They have to stop.
No, Dane's talking like a dictator.
That's what I mean. It's so made for him.
This is just confidence.
Yeah. This is just confidence. I'm just saying, okay, these things need to change. There should be a rule against... Look, you can't sell cigarettes separately. You shouldn't be able to sell fruit pastels separately. It's not okay. It is not okay.
Yeah.
Because all that's going to happen is you're going to get a surplus of yellow and green ones, because if you can pick them yourself, no one's picking those flavours. Think about it, Howard. Now you've got a surplus of green and yellow fruit pastels running down the street, rivers of sugar. Rivers of sugar, Jade.
No, rivers. I am sorry about this. I am sorry about this, Dane. It has been my fault that this has come to our attention today. And what's so ridiculous is that I asked this question and I've given up all sugar. So this whole thing's been torture for me for the last 25 minutes. So, yeah, thanks for answering the question, guys. It was, it was something, wasn't it?
It was a very good question.
I've got some good sugar alternatives here if you need any.
Okay, maybe I'll drop you a line after the show, but it's time to throw it over to Dane for the final question of today's very sweet episode.
It has been a very sweet episode, both figuratively and literally. And with that in mind, obviously, this is very much on brand for you, Jade, very known as quite a sweetheart in our former industry when it existed. I was also aware of the subject matter of your debut show in Edinburgh, which is very good as well. So I may know the answer to this already, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And to you as well, Howard. And also because you've been in some very innovative and very cool culinary-based shows of late. Mm. So my question is, it's a three-part question, but it's all about the same thing. So you are on a meal with somebody. It can be anybody you want, living or dead. And it is a five-course meal of which you can pick those courses. And so the question is, and it's your last meal, Jade. So this doesn't have to be for a mortal reason, but just think of it as your last most significant meal. Or it could be this is going to be the most important meal of your life. And my question is, who would you be your dining partner and what would you guys eat?
Well, this is a difficult question because I could offend people in my life if I don't say them, so I'm gonna have to say it's gonna have to be someone that I don't have in my life. Basically, if I was going to pick a dinner party table, there's a table full, but that's not the question, so it has to, I'm gonna have to pick someone singular from,
well, if it is the dinner party question, let's do it that way, because I want you to answer the question as easy as possible. So let's do the dinner party question. And you can pick the dinner. It doesn't have to be in any courses or stuff, but you choose what's being served and you choose at the table. Let's say, for the interest of topicality, it's a group of six.
Because you have to have six.
Yeah, bigger than groups of six in this, who are all 2 meters.
You don't have to have six. You don't have to have six.
You don't have to have six. You have less than six is the maximum.
I would have that. I mean, if I'm being really sweet and cute and lovely and heartfelt, then obviously I would have Rich and Babs and Clayton and my parents, and you two would be there as definitely as well. If we're going to talk about like really spicy dinner party, now everyone sort of like people that you get on well with, someone that you don't have a sort of fiery relationship with in any way, are they fun for a dinner party? Because don't you want the fireworks? So like, imagine you just like got extremes of people in. So you've got like two opposing sides of human beings at a party. That would be thoroughly entertaining, or the party would be over, wouldn't it? But it would be thoroughly entertaining to host that party. But okay. The people that are invited to this party, I should have answered this question before now. But people that come to this party, they want to be there as well, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yes,
yeah.
Okay, so with all that in mind,
Baz Luhrmann... It's quite the soiree, Jade. It's quite the soiree.
Baz Luhrmann, who is a director, as you know, he made my favourite movie ever, which is Strictly Ballroom, so he would be there.
Great film.
So that's a film director. I would have...
For those who don't know, he also did Romeo and Juliet as well.
And Moulin Rouge.
And Moulin Rouge. Australia. And if you don't know by then that's why you're not at this dinner party. Sorry, Jade.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you're not here. And
that's why you're not invited.
Who else would be there?
God. Lovely visual image of the two of you sitting there already.
What, me and Baz? Just like
you and Baz just sitting there and you're waiting for your next guest. You know, it's lovely, isn't it? Lovely, lovely image. Just chatting.
Just having a little chat. Okay, so the next person I would have would be... Okay, Sarah Silverman would be there.
Oof, nice.
Just because I think she would be great at a dinner party. Someone asked me this ages ago and I said her, not on a podcast, but someone asked me this ages ago and I said she would be a sort of, someone who would like keep the conversation flowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who else would I have? Dane, you'd be great at a dinner party.
Oh, thanks. I always feel like I have too many dietary requirements.
I mean, I like a little challenge. Howard, I haven't said you because, I mean, this is basically the first time we've spent any sort of significant
amount
of time
together.
I'd
feel a bit weird. I'd have to find some kind of weird excuse for not coming because I felt like I didn't belong, Jade.
Yeah.
But thank you for considering me. It's very nice of you.
Howard, also, if there's any leftovers, I'll bring that for you, so don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I can experience.
I'll bring you something. Yeah. Doggy bag in that. Don't worry, bro.
Dane, yeah. I think you'd be a very, I think you'd be a great person at a dinner party. So I'd have you there.
Thank you very much.
So we've got Jade, Dane, Baz Luhrmann and Sarah Silverman.
It's a lovely mix of faces.
Nigella Lawson would be there.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
That's going to create some controversy, I imagine.
I feel it should be like, Dane, would you like to join me here behind the microwave for a little cheeky spliff? Yes, I would, Nigella.
Kathy Bates.
Oh, nice, nice.
Very good. That's the six, isn't it? That's the six.
Oh, no. I didn't mean Kathy Bates. I meant Kathy Burke.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
Kathy Bates is an actress.
I think Kathy Burke would be great. That's a really nice dinner.
That's a lovely night. What are you having?
And Will Smith. Can I have more?
Yes, you can Will Jane.
Smith. I mean, Will Smith's available.
There needs to be a musical element to this party because someone's going to need to get up off the table and go and entertain everyone. He's an all-rounder. Plus,
Maybe it's a karaoke meal and
I think an interesting conversation would be like Dane talking to Will Smith about Scientology. I'd like to see that argument, you know?
Yeah. Lovely.
What are you doing? Why, Will? Why? He's like, there's crumbs coming out of my mouth. These ain't crumbs, Will. Look at the size of them. These are full biscuits I'm spitting at you.
What are you eating at your party here, Jade?
Well, I mean, let's do something new because I recently did this on another podcast. I said my ideal restaurant, but we're talking like last meal vibes now, aren't we? This is a different question. Last meal vibe.
Well, last supper. Let's say last supper because they give
last
them more
supper.
More of a nice steak you can think of.
Well, number one, my opening gambit would be the most amount of shellfish one person has ever seen.
Nice.
So like oysters, clams, razor clams, mussels, cockles, prawns, loads of different varieties of shrimp, crevettes. Oh. Lobster, crab,
langoustines.
Langoustines are, you don't need them. Lobster's there. Langoustines are hard to get into.
That's true.
I'm not a big shellfish fan, so I'm glad you didn't ask me that.
I don't think the menu is very kosher, I'm afraid.
It's not famously non-kosher.
No. Yeah. And I would have that I'd have like a nice sort of tomato-y sauce. I made one here the other day for Christmas. I did like a big prawn cocktail starter, but I would make that sauce again. How I did that was like I basically whizzed up prawns that I'd cooked and made its own prawn sauce with the prawns and paprika and lemon and everything. So that would be the number one. Then two, it's got to be meat. It just have to be steak, just steak, like just short rib. Anything steak based, and then like some like amazing triple cooked chips by Heston Blumenthal.
Ooh, nice.
That's quite the banquet, I imagine.
Mushrooms, tomatoes, the whole lot.
Nice.
Salsa verde as well.
Ooh.
Steaks can be lamb. Who knows? I mean, I'm up for all the meat, really. And
what an image and what a cast of people to be hanging with. It'd be a great night out. I mean,
it'd be great.
I hope we're doing beatboxing and rapping by the cheese board. That's what my my plan is. So that's right. Where you were. I had a party last year, actually, and I invited someone that I know who I enjoy the company of and got on the piano at the end. But I kind of knew he'd do that.
Yeah, so, nice.
Like, I knew he was going to get up and go and play piano at the end. And I sort of knew that. So that's why Will's there, because I know that he's not going to be able to help himself.
No.
That's some good... Jade, I've got to be honest with you. I'm giving this come down with me a full 10, y'all. The planning has been very, very good here. I very like it. Great time, great entertainment. Jade's a great host. I'm giving her a 10. So...
I wouldn't be as imaginative. I actually realised over Christmas I'm quite boring, actually, if I'm honest. I think I know I'm quite boring, Dane. I think I quite like just talking about football quite a lot of the time. quite tragic realising that that's who you are, really. And I'm not going to kind of make a big deal out. I've got other interests, but like...
Have you, Howard?
I've got a child, so yeah, that's
him. You pretend.
That's
him. Let's be honest.
That's what men do at football matches. Look at my son Archie. Look at the size of him now. So it's still football, really.
So basically, I'm quite up for pie and mash with Ian Wright, with Thierry Henry.
My mum's been in an advert with Ian Wright.
Oh wow!
She spent a week with him.
Was he a nice man?
He's really lovely, and he was very good to my mum, and he's a massive flirt. And she like spent a significant amount of time with him for a week and is amazing. In the advert. I'll send it to you after this.
I would like to see.
Lovely.
Very good.
Lovely.
Old righty. Yeah. There you go. There you go, Howard. See, great conversation. That's your flirt as well.
Just to let you know, mum works in Asda, and he was doing that. They did this whole thing where they put celebrities in a supermarket with them, with Asda workers. So that was what he was in. But it meant he spent a week with my mum, who worked in Asda at the point. Aww. I'm not from, and I just want people to know, I'm not from a family of performers.
Right.
Carry on, Howard.
Yeah. So I'm having pie and mash with Ian Wright, Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp and Arsene Wenger. And I just get to talk to them about that era of Arsenal that I loved. That's just easy night. I mean, that's just perfect night for me.
And a stick Klopp in there as well. You got to.
Arsenal fan. So Klopp, I mean, he can be on the adjacent table. And maybe if we start to run out of
Howard,
stuff,
you can
pop in.
You can't just have loads of people you agree with on there. Have some confused.
Oh, it's going to get feisty. It's going to get feisty about who's the best player. And that's probably, you know, obviously I'm not, but.
I haven't got Dane Baptiste and Sarah Silverman there to like sit there and snog each other. They're there to fucking argue.
And also, okay. I'd probably be flirting with Nigella, being like, Nigella, you go for another smoke. Yeah. She'd be like, just meet me. But I will be moving quite ethereally and slowly outside. And then I will begin with a vanilla scented piece of Rizla paper infused with several different spices, including this Gelato 41 and this Amnesia Haze.
I am turned on right now.
I'm telling you, she's the best. Oh, listen, full figured. Talented woman who can make a spliff and a whole 5-course meal, my cup runneth over, as doth my spliff. That's what I'm talking about, Jade. I like that, Howard. Minimalist is cool.
Simple, minimalist, and easy. Easy for people to get their head around what I'm... I've just realised I'm quite boring, really, in my life.
It's
so,
not
you know,
boring, it's kind of Howard. Like, it's not boring if that's what you want, Howard. Boring exactly. If you conform for the sake of just a normalcy, mate.
But I imagine this episode has made our listeners very hungry, Dane. It's been an edible episode, I would say.
It's been a great one.
It's very on brand for me, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's good, man. Listen, I mean, I can't think of any other ways that people are able to bond over food or over laughter. So the fact that you excel at both, Jade, poised to have a great 2021. To be honest with you, my dinner would be very similar to yours. I'd have to have a lot of the same guests because I had such a great time last time. For the meal... I'm somebody, my dining habits are, I'm very much into things like tapas and sushi and like tasted menus where you get to try lots of different stuff from the menu as well. And the one I'm most based on is, and I don't care how bougie it sounds, so there's a place in London on Charlotte Street called...
Who are you talking to? Don't apologise for that.
You know, thank you, Jade. People like to gut shame me sometimes.
Don't you dare, not in my company.
Right? So Rocker is on Charlotte Street, is a Asian fusion restaurant, and they do a wonderful tasting menu. So it includes like a selection of like sashimi and stuff, and that's really nice. I'm much into that. And it also have to be like sustainable and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we also have Bruce Lee at this soiree, so who cares? And then they had like Korean lamb cutlets. Those are really nice. Madagascan prawns, which are like a foot long. They're enormous. Like a sea bass carpaccio. Really liked And then one of my favorite meals to have, foods to have, is a black cod and miso sauce.
Black cod is delicious.
Mentioned that a couple of times, Dane.
Love it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to do this right now, but we're going to just have to like completely disregard everything I've said about food. And now, because he's come out and he's swung his rocker around in his black cod, I'm going to get rid of everything I've said, and my dinner party is going to be the entire menu that I had at the Fat Duck.
Oh! That's snail porridge for your ass, if you didn't know, people.
It was
Oh, my goodness. I've heard insane things about that. I mean, they still got a waiting list, right? It's a waiting list for the Fat Duck menu. Oh man, so nice.
Not for me. You can come with me,
so
Dave.
Nice. I would, you know what, Jade, if you ever have time to go to the Fat Duck, please let me know and I would be so grateful.
Let's do it. I'd be well up for it.
Can we go still?
Yeah.
Well, are they closed now? Are they
now, but when we come out of this lockdown, we'll be able to go.
Oh, I would love that. Oh my God. Right. Listen, it's not a real dessert if it's not being cryogenically frozen. Am I right?
this dessert's from 1942.
Exactly. what a tasty episode that's been, Dane. I mean, I'm starving now. I can't tell you how hungry.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought we had to come up with more questions, so I do have another one for you both, just quickly.
Yeah, what's 2021? Get a bonus in. Why not?
What star sign are you both?
Oh, Sagittarius.
So am I.
I'm Virgo.
Are you Virgo?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Virgo, Venus in Libra, Moon in Scorpio, Aries rising.
So what a little mixture there, Dane.
I know. It's an ascendant. Always. I hope it makes me more of an empathetic person. Can I just let the audience know and people know that Jade has promised me that she will, through her cool Heston Blumenthal connections, get me a reservation at Fat Duck, where I'll get to enjoy things like nitro poached aperitifs, like vodka and lime sour, Campari, tequila and grapefruit, red cabbage gazpacho, jelly of quail and crayfish cream, snail porridge, roast foie gras.
I mean, we'd have to do an entire new hour of recording for me to tell you what happened when I went there. But I'm telling you, it was the best culinary experience of my entire life.
I can see that just by looking at this stuff here. I am so happy for you. Have you heard of a place called the Supper Club in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Oh, man, and that's when you learn the difference between going to a restaurant and having a dining experience. Because I was given a sashimi chessboard with various different cuts and pieces and stuff.
Wow.
And next to me, this English guy was like, oh, I don't know, I much prefer the Hawksmoor. Have you got any steak or something with ketchup? I was like, this is why we need to leave the EU. You don't deserve it. Anyway, that's another conversation for another time. Jade, thank you so much for piquing our interest and whetting our appetites intellectually and gastrally as well, my dear. Where people can take more and gorge themselves on more Jade Adams, where can they do so, please?
On my website, jadeadams.com. But what I really want you to do is go to Amazon Prime and watch my special Serious Black Jumper. You'll love it.
You will.
Enjoy it, guys. It's very good. Show. I guarantee it'll be great. It's an incredible show. And if you can still handle that comedy overload, please check out my special Life in the Soho Theatre, which is called Dane. But check out Jade's first, guys, because a deal's a deal and I'm going to the Fat Duck soon.
Jade, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm sure we could you have to return again someday, because we've got so much more we can cover, I'm sure.
I've got so many questions for you both. I'll have to do it for another time.
Save it
another time. But like I said, Jade, you from the beginning, you have always been a friend of the show, so anytime you want to come back along, please do. We'll be happy to have you back.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me, you two.
Listen, take care, nothing better Jade. Than Kit Kat and chatting, Jade. Kit Kat and chatting. That is the vibe for 2021. Thank you very much, Ms. Adams. I will see you very soon.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram at DaneSnapTeast. Our guest was Jade Adams. You can follow Jade on Twitter at Jade Adams or on Instagram at Miss Jade Adams. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Howard Cohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at We Are Audio Culture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DBQEPodcast. Thanks to Polly, Gelly and the Acast team for all their support. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, question everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.